Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City Chef.
Yeah.
Connecticut.
Hello, how are you doing today? I hope I find you feeling healthy on this Thursday, May 13th, 2021. This is Dave here. And I think we got Barry on with me. Maybe not. I don't know. Might be flying solo. I just want to give out that call-in number. We got 929-477-2759. Again, 929-477-2259. We have quite a show for you. Been a heck of a week in baseball. But before we dive into the past week, let's just take a quick rundown of the scores going on right now. Now, on my TV set, I currently have the Yankees down 4-0 to Tampa, which is kind of uncharacteristic of the Yankees, but they've been playing a lot better lately. We also have the Pirates losing 0-3 against the Giants. Now, the Giants are 22-14 on the season. The Pirates 15-21. You hope to see if they can work their way up. We have a pair of very good teams in the Red Sox and Athletics playing right now, but the Red Sox, who are just off to quite the surprise start, are ahead 7-0. You have the Rangers down 2-3 to the Astros. The Astros are sitting at 20-17. The Rangers at 18-20, so not a lot of separation between those guys. You have the Rangers. I'm sorry. You have the Reds and the Rockies. Reds have 0 runs. The Rockies do have 1 run. Reds sitting at 500 at 17-17. The Rockies just continue to pull up the basement. You have the Blue Jays up 8-4 on the Braves, and you have the Phillies down 1-5. The Phillies lost to the Nationals. Nationals pick up their 14th win. The Phillies drop to 20-18. The Tigers earlier today defeated the Royals. Tigers are 13-24. The Royals are 16-20. That game was 4-3. And the Cardinals blanked the Brewers 2-0 for the Cardinals to go up to 23-15. The Brewers sit at 20-18. And the Twins just continue to lose, falling 4-2 to the White Sox. The White Sox, despite the loss of two young stars right now, are 22-13. The Twins are 12-23. Two teams just not moving in the right direction. So we are off and running, and I am trying to bring Barry back in. Barry, are you there?
I'm here. You got me?
We got you.
You put me on mute, the evil, maniacal supervillain himself. And I'm trying to talk. I'm talking. You got me on mute. How are you going to do that to me? But how you feeling, David?
I felt like I Thanos snapped you for there. Sorry about that. And, you know, Barry, as we bring you in, we also got another one of the Sports City Chefs coming on. We got Eric on the line.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we all doing today?
I'm good.
What a lovely
good
day. Man, it was nice here in Connecticut. I don't know about you, Barry. I was able to take my daughter outside for a minute while we were walking to her first haircut. Boy, it was nice out looking at some of these baseball games. It's really starting to get that springtime, summer feel of a nice time to get out to the park. For some people, this is the dog days of baseball. We're now about a quarter way through the season. But a lot to look forward to. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but if I'm looking at a game, like my wife and I, we try to get to a Yankee game every year. This is exactly the type of weather that we're looking for, the type of atmosphere. And the only thing I would be afraid of going to a game right now is seeing a whole lot of strikeouts. I know that's something Nate and I have been talking about lately. What have you guys felt just at the, you know, because I haven't had a chance to catch up with both of you. What have you felt about the first quarter of the season and how that's been going for, you know, just kind of go touch on what you want to on. There's a lot to talk about this season between the no-hitters, the strikeouts, the injuries, the Mets winning seven straight right now, who was my World Series pick. I just want to point that out.
Garbage. I'll go first, Eric, if you don't mind. You know, it's kind of an uneven year so far. I mean, you listen, I wish Nate was on tonight. You know, I had to come in and pinch hit. I wanted to kind of get at him, but because he in the preview show, he was the one saying the Red Sox are not a good team. I said, nope, check that. They're a good team. And lo and behold, look who's in first place. I mean, I'm not happy about it as a Yankee fan, but, I mean, they are a good baseball team. They're hitting. We'll see how long they can sustain it. I think that's kind of the theme that we've seen so far. You know, Boston, the Chicago White Sox, the Athletics getting off to nice starts. You know, the Mets kind of getting some wins here. You know, the Dodgers, you know, kind of got off to a hot start and kind of fell back a little bit. So it's kind of like guys getting to a good start. Can they sustain it? And then the teams that should be at the top, like the Dodgers, the Braves, and the Yankees, are they going to make that move to the top where they belong? And the Yankees and Dodgers, I mean, at least the Yankees are starting to make a move here and there. They're one of the eight of their last 10. So, you know, see, if that's kind of like what I've been seeing. And strikeouts, you know, I kind of look at Bull Durham. It's fascist. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like I can't with the strikeouts. It's so many people, so many good players that just strike out so often. I mean, you're watching the Tampa Bay Rays. They're on pace to have the most team strikeouts ever. And nobody's blinking an eye. I mean, that's just the name of the game. It's all or nothing, three-run home runs or strikeouts. So, you know, for me, it's weird. You know, I like the contact hitters and all that stuff. So we'll see how it goes.
You're watching the wrong sport if you like the contact hitter stuff, man. I you know, lest I forget. You know, Kansas City was super hot at the beginning of the season. They've lost 11 straight, man. That's not what you want.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, they're falling apart in Kansas City.
Yeah, and
was that Eric?
What's been a real surprise to me is the San Francisco Giants. You know, here's a real young team, and I know it's early, but you know, they're sitting in first place right now in the NL West. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can keep going. The Athletics, they started at the bottom too, and now they're on an absolute tear, you know, dominating the division there in the AL West. The Angels, same old Angels, unfortunately, been decimated, you know, and have no pitching. And then, you know, having Rendon out and, you know, the Pujols. Full whole sore deal. Yeah, it's not looking pretty there. So, and then how about the Reds starting off? They set an MLB record for the first week. You know, in the season, they scored 46 runs. This looked like a team that was just gonna, you know, and then all of a sudden, they tanked out.
That was so long ago.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yep. So,
well, that's
yeah,
a season for last year. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a great baseball season. Your Yankees are, you know, coming back up. They started off. They're starting to win some games now. So it's just a really exciting year. We got a lot of good pitching, a lot of good young prospects. I think we talked about it on a show a few weeks ago. You know, we need to see some of this, you know, besides the Mike Trout, we need to, you know, a lot of these other players will elevate their game to superstar level. So, you know, be able to witness it.
Being a Yankee fan is like rooting for one of these Bitcoin or cryptocurrency things. Like, you know, by the time you think you have it figured it out, they don't, you know, because they were 2 weeks ago, I buried them. Last week I said, they're back. And right now it seems just like they're forgetting how to play ball. And one of the things I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on is the COVID situation going on with the Yankees. I mean, it feels like I'm looking at two different trend lines. It seems, you know, as if much of the country is moving in the right direction. I am not personally ready to declare it over, and I'm not really here to declare one way or the other what the state of the country is. But what I want to talk about is how it's affecting the Yankees. Right now they have seven coaches who are under quarantine. I believe only one or two have actually tested positive, but they also have one of their best young players in Gleyber Torres, who has tested positive, even though he's already had it and he had his Johnson & Johnson shot. Most of the Yankees got their shot. It felt to me like the Yankees were getting great momentum, and then this kind of hit them. And it only hit one player, but it got the coaches, and you have to imagine it's got to be in some of the players' mind. Now, I don't think if you're standing in the box and you're facing, you know, a 3-2 pitch with two outs in the bottom of the fifth inning or the top of the fifth right now since they're in Tampa, that's not what's on your mind. But you can't help but think it's going to affect sort of the team in some way, shape, or form. Just like I said, with that lowest, you got, you know, they're keeping their lows low and they're keeping their highs high. That's certainly the Yankees. But, you know,
did you just pull a old? Never mind. I know what you did there. I know what you did there. No, but you know, Dave, I agree with you. Listen, if anything, we kind of touched on it a little bit last night. It's a reminder that, you know, even though people are vaccinated or getting vaccinated, please go if you haven't gotten vaccinated, please. And if you have vaccinated, you know, let people know, man. But you know, we're still living in a pandemic, and it's very dangerous. And you know, we're not out of the woods yet. We still have to do our due diligence. And even if you do everything right, I'm sure the Yankees are doing everything right, you know, while they're traveling. It's still there, and you can still catch, you know, COVID. So, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, it started with the third base coach, I think, Nevin, and then it spread to, you know, some staff members and some assistant coaches, and they had held Gleyber out of the game yesterday, and then, you know, come to find out today that he actually did test positive. To your point, he did get the shot. So, it's unfortunate. Hopefully they can contain it. You know, it looks like nobody else is affected so far. So, you know, that's good. But, hey, man, it's we're still in the pandemic. You still got to do your due diligence. And, Dave, you know better than I do. So, you know, it's dangerous, and you still gotta be protected. And even, you know, if these idiots around here don't want to wear a mask, you know, you got excuses why you don't need to wear a mask. Yeah, okay. Get sick. I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, get lost.
Just don't get me sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm gonna agree.
What do you think about
this
one?
Yeah, you know, I think they'll get through it. It's unfortunate. They had eight players test positive. So we'll see where it goes. And, hopefully we're going to be on the downturn, everybody getting their vaccines, which is good, and we can get back to business as usual.
Well, fortunately, it was seven coaches and one player. Unfortunately, again, the player was the great, sometimes, Gleyber Torres.
Are you throwing great on people already? You're throwing the word
look,
great on. I mean, he is really good, but
he's. I personally, I mean, not where I was going with this, but the Yankees. If you look at them going back to 2017, I think was the last time it was. Every game felt like it was really just straight up fun as a Yankee fan, and it's a rare thing to be a Yankee fan and actually have fun watching the team, because it feels a lot of time like it's business. You got to go out there and win. But in 2017, the expectations were low, got all the way to the seventh game of the ALCS. But, you know, from there, really built up this team, and I think the best hitters to build around, I don't get me wrong, I love Aaron Judge. Everybody loves Aaron Judge, it feels like. But he's got enough I would say in terms of seasons where he didn't play in full, there's just enough inconsistency for me to not want to hand him the franchise. But I feel like a guy like Gleyber Torres, he's got everything from a hitting perspective. And even though he's not playing his proper position, I just think he's got the most upside in terms of a 15-year, you know, the next 15 years. Aaron Judge, I hate to say it, man. I think he's just too old to put the next 15 years on him. But I didn't really want to get there. I was really focusing on, you know, if the Yankees could maintain their momentum. And I was thinking about teams that had certain momentums on the up or the down, like the White Sox, who right now are on the uptrend, despite having Eloy Jimenez out for the season and Luis Robert. But I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on that. But also, if anybody out there is listening and they wanted to give us a shout, the number is 929-477-2759. But we'll start with the guys in-house. Eric, I want to hear what you have to say on the White Sox. You know, I honestly didn't expect them to do as well as they're doing. I mean, they've got a manager who certainly knows his way around a baseball, but the players are really just kind of coming through, and I think they're playing well in right situations. How do you think do you think they can sustain this?
I definitely think they can sustain this. You know, this is one of the teams that I have picked out of the American League to contend for a World Series this year. Lucas Giolito he's emerged into a, you know, superstar pitcher. They got quality pitching from top to bottom, starters and in their middle of their rotation and relievers. And once they get Eloy Jimenez back, you know, if they can sustain this all the way to then, which I think they will, this team has a legitimate shot at, you know, getting to the World Series and winning it.
Wow, that is high praise. I mean, right now, if you look at them, I think they're sitting at third in terms of runs scored. You know, so their offense is absolutely there. I mean, that's where I think they're at their best. But they've also got the fourth best team ERA, and you put those two things together, you're going to have a lot of success. I mean, I don't know if they can pull it together, but at the same time, I'm the same guy who I believe picked the Twins to come out of that division, and somehow they're doing worse than Detroit. So what do I know? Barry, you might know more than me. What do you think of the White Sox?
I do, because the villain just knows. No, I'm kidding. Listen, shout out to TP. How are those Twinkies doing? But seriously though, I agree with Eric. Listen, Chicago surprised last year in the strike, the shortened season, and got themselves into a playoff situation and rode that momentum. Yeah, losing Jimenez was a big blow, and we said that early in the season. But they've come out and they've really kind of weathered the storm, and they're playing some good baseball right now. You're looking at Yermán Mercedes. He's batting what, 382 or something like that. Like, he's leading the league in hitting. He's on a tear at the DH position. Abreu, you know, quote-unquote, quietly has 31 RBIs, and he's probably one of their best players playing some good baseball out there. So I love watching him play. To your point, the pitching is holding up. I think bringing in a veteran like Lance Lynn has really helped the young guys. They're getting it from all over. Jake Lamb, you know, had a home run against Pineda. The rookie Andrew Vaughn, hit his first home run. So you got guys just contributing all over the place. I love what they're doing. And, you know, let's give a little credit to La Russa, because I think early in the season, we all kind of scratched our heads. Like, they're digging, you know, like, I kind of looked at it like Han Solo, you know, making fun of Obi-Wan. Where'd you dig up that old fossil? You know, like, and you know, here we go. Here we are. They're one of the better teams in the league because Tony La Russa knows baseball and he's a heck of a manager. So, you know, kudos to him. Even though everything that went down in the offseason, whatever, he still knows how to coach back some good guys, some good baseball, and you know, they're winning games. And I think with the Twins and especially with the Royals kind of faltering, Detroit's not really there yet. They're not going to be a team I look for, you know, in the season. And Cleveland, I think they're just sustained so many losses over the years, like trades or what have you. I think the White Sox are going to run away with this division. I think the Twins will make it interesting, but I don't think anybody's catching the White Sox at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't see any reason. I think the Twins, you know, I know you you said that about the Twins maybe having a resurgence. And again, TP, I apologize in advance, man, but I'm pretty much ready to bury them. I don't like to do that this early in the season. I still think that they'll do finish ultimately better than Detroit. I mean, Detroit is just so bad at everything. But I do like to believe that the White Sox will have at least built up enough equity at this point for when Eloy comes back towards the end of the season. It'll mean something. And I'm one who is definitely curious if you know, towards the end of the season, how it'll be. I mean, I make this point, I feel like, once a week, but, you know, these guys are not, you know, it's not gas in the car. It's not trying to, you know, they can only, you know, run out there X amount of innings, and you know, once you go over that, they're useless. It's you know, people are skin and bones and muscles, and if you, you know, train somebody to play 162, you can, but they haven't played 162, and they haven't played deep, you know, into the fall, in years. You know, it's literal years since these, some of these guys have picked up a bat in the months of August, September, October. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, I think, conditioning on a lot of these players and real bench depth, and really beyond bench depth, the 40-man roster will have a lot to say about, the rest of the season. I mean, I'm concerned personally about some of the pitchers' arms falling off, especially as guys are throwing more strikeouts. And yeah, you're still seeing pitchers come out of the game after five or six. I don't know. It seems to me like sometimes you're seeing a lot of pitchers actually stretching to six innings. And if you look at the teams that are doing well right now, I feel like there's a lot of really, you know, young teams and unexpected success stories, like the Red Sox, to a point, like the White Sox, even Cleveland sitting at 20-14, not a bad team, but I didn't expect them to do as well as they are. I really didn't see Oakland performing as well. I mean, the Mets I saw coming, St. Louis I saw coming, and like Eric had said, San Francisco, you know, playing well, they're doing better than San Diego and the, you know, in the records, with the higher winning percentage. But will they have the arms to last into the season? Maybe the younger teams have an advantage. Do you think pitching will be a problem later in the season? I mean, we're a quarter of the way through the year. These guys are getting stretched, especially since I feel like they're in there a little bit longer than they had been last year on a per outing basis. Eric, I'll start with you.
Yeah,
I hear you here. Take. Sorry, Barry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but if you want to...
I don't know who we're going to kick it to.
Hey, the White Sox, they just got great Dylan Cease is another one that's coming on strong, another one of their rookies. They got Jimmy Cordero, Zach Birdie. These are, and of course, Dallas Keuchel. You know, I don't see these guys thrown down. I see them being able to sustain, no problem.
But why? I mean, what makes you think, just from an athletic standpoint? Not, you know, I don't think everybody's going to be able to last all the way. But what makes you think that that their arms will? I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope everybody lasts.
No,
well.
I mean, I totally understand your point there, but they have depth, so they don't have to burn all these guys out. You know what I mean? They have quality middle relievers that can come in, and they're scoring a lot of runs. So these pitchers, they're going to be able to get shared time and. How they were last year, you saw these guys. There wasn't too many injuries on the pitching staff. So I think they'll be able to manage that just fine.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't really realize how deep the White Sox are. And you're right. That's the big
luxury. Right now, it'll amaze you with what you're seeing. They they silently have one of the best teams in baseball right now. You can go to their offense and say the same thing. I mean, every player that's a starter on that roster is a quality guy.
All right, Barry, it's finally your turn.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough because, you know, we're old school. I'm old school. I know Eric is. You know, I like to see pitchers pitch and starting pitchers get into the seventh inning. That's a real quality start, not a quality start into the fifth inning and hand it over to the bullpen. Like, you know, it's like once you get that third turn in the lineup, they're out of the game. But then you look at, you know, like the Mets, you know, DeGrom, it just, you know, is a little bothered with an injury. So he's got to sit for a little while, you know. So it's like, you know, even though you want these guys to have length and you want them to strike out, you know, and all that stuff, it's also you got to be smart because these guys might break down. They might not be ready to carry that load. I think to Eric's point, I think the White Sox do have arms. But a lot of arms are found in the bullpen, so it's easier to get them through five innings, the starters, I mean, and then, you know, at the end, bring in a flamethrower for an inning or two and then turn it over to your best reliever, your best pitcher, and then call it a day. So, you know, it's just a different game that we're watching in baseball, but it's still baseball. It's still great. You still need starting pitcher, though. You still need that guy, especially in the playoffs, that can take the ball and get you, you know, 15, 18 to 21 outs. That's still really important. And, you know, as good as a bullpen can be, you know, I've never seen a team win by committee. You still had to have good starting pitching.
Well, you know, Barry, since Eric told me to, I went and I looked at the, you know, looked a little deeper into the White Sox. And, I mean, you're really going to have to build that, you know, really count on a guy like Keuchel. And I think Giolito to be your veteran presence in that rotation. I mean, Cease, man, that kid's seriously, I mean, I'm looking at line scores. I can't say I've really seen him pitch. But if what I'm looking at is if his baseball card is what he is, I mean, that could be your anchor for the team.
So you mean which one? Like on the White Sox, you mean?
Yeah, on the White Sox. I mean,
check out their offensive roster too.
They're a deep team.
Go on
they're
down
a good
the
team.
Line. Yeah.
They're a good team. I mean, honestly, I was with you, Dave. I thought the Twins were going to get, you know, take that division, but they're off to a poor start. And, you know, White Sox are hot, and they have the momentum from last year. You know, I think you saw a lot of good things with teams coming back from the pandemic in baseball. I think Chicago was a good surprise. I think, you know, Eric's Reds, you know, getting into a playoff situation was a nice surprise. The Braves kind of getting their footing. So, I mean, I think they've rode that momentum into this year and beyond. I mean, and I agree with you, Eric. I am totally shocked that the San Francisco Giants are atop that division and playing good baseball because we all thought that they were
Absolutely.
A rebuilding team that really wasn't going to make a lot of waves, but, you know, momentum is as good as your next starting pitcher, right? So they're playing some good baseball, you know, and you know, I'm happy. It's a good story for San Francisco, you know, even though they do win, you know, they had their chips and everything. But, you know, we'll see how it turns out because the Dodgers got off to a good start, and then Bauer actually came out. He hates losing. He doesn't like, all that kind of stuff. So the Dodgers are too talented not to be there at the end. And I kind of think the same way with the Padres too. They're too talented not to be there at the end. So we'll see how that turns out. But it's a good story in San Francisco so far and a horrific story in Los Angeles with the Anaheim Angels. I mean, yeah, I'll still call them the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in Western California on the coast next to, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, God. But, you know, I mean, somebody, you know, I'm going to hold up a sign that says free Mike Trout because it's a shame. It's a shame that Los Angeles can't build a winner around this guy. I mean, you know, teams would kill to have that guy as a centerpiece to build around, and you know, they just can't do it. They just can't do it.
And don't forget about Ohtani too. I mean, if you look at a lot of teams, they'll have two stars like that, Trout and Ohtani, and you know, Trout. I mean, he's just on. It's hard to say the guy's on another level, but he's still somehow on another level. They ironically not even leading the team in home runs right now. That's actually Ohtani. But it's depressing watching what's happening to Trout. I mean, between being stuck in a place like, you know, out on the West Coast where I can't see him, and it's a very selfish point, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, he's 29 years old. He's you know, not on the back nine, but he's not really on the front nine either. He's still got a couple prime years left, certainly, and at the way he plays. But it's really sad to think that we're on the verge of just being able to say Mike Trout's career was just thrown away. Because if you're Los Angeles, I mean, I'm looking at the roster here, Ohtani, Trout, Justin Upton, laughing at seeing Pujols' name still on the roster. But, you know, if you look at the pitching, there's nothing. I mean,
They have no pitching. I mean, and honestly, Dave, he's going to be the Ernie Banks of our generation, you know, or the Ted Williams of our generation. Like, he's going to be that guy that such a great player on crappy teams. And, like, you know, it's funny because, you know, when you look at the guy, he's comparable to like Mickey Mantle, and to any older person, like, you know, in my dad's age or older, to compare him to Mickey Mantle, it's like blasphemous. But you look at him, he is just a 5-2 player built like a horse. And it's like, you know what? He might be better than Mickey Mantle. Like, you know, like he's that
it's
good.
I don't want to agree, but you're not wrong. I mean, it's a valid conversation. You know, I just thought of a good comparison, like a Barry Sanders or even a Calvin Johnson, the Megatron. I mean,
yeah,
compared to another sport.
Shout out to TP. Exactly.
Man,
TP's a Lions fan.
It's frustrating.
Give him a shout out.
Oh, the poor guy.
Coming from
the Jets fan.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I don't know, man. The Yankees would love to have a guy like him in New York, and even the Mets. Like, any team on the East Coast would love to have him, build a team around him, and he deserves it at this point. I know he's loyal, and he got that mega contract and all that, but, like, he deserves to be on a better team than this. It's a failure of management to build a team around this guy. I mean, I don't know how you don't do it. I just don't know.
No, it's sad. I mean, I've been using the word sad with the Angels a lot, especially after what happened to Pujols. And I mean, the craziest thing to me is Mike Trout and Aaron Judge, not really that far off in age. But Mike Trout still seems like the kind of guy you'd build a team around. But earlier, I mean, in the show, I pointed out that I don't know if I would around Aaron Judge because of his age and his inconsistency. It's sad seeing them trend so far down, not unlike, say, the Royals, who, like I said earlier, they won a game on May 1st. It was a nice 11-3 victory over the Twins, who's easy to beat up on right now, but they've lost 11 straight. I mean, you've got the Mets who've won 7 straight. So I think you just see these trend lines going at the quarter pole of the season. There are certainly some teams I think who have established themselves and are going to stay there. You know what? I hate to say it. I think the Red Sox are, I don't want to say for real, but I think the Red Sox will have some say come the end of the season on who makes it in and who doesn't. I mean, now they're up 8-0 on Oakland. Again, Oakland, an easy team to jump all over right now when you're Boston hitting the way that they're hitting. hitting over 250 as a team. I had a question kind of off the field that I wanted to ask you guys. I saw that MLB and ESPN extended their deal to 2028, which will keep 30 games on ESPN during the year, each season. And that's nice for ESPN because it's not a huge commitment, but they still get to claim rights to a baseball game every week. I don't know exactly how the Sunday night that game is determined, who gets the first right of refusal for it, but it is nice. And MLB TV, within the article I read that, did state that they are seeing their highest ratings ever. They're up almost up 48% year over year. And ESPN Sunday night is also seeing significant increase in ratings. But I wanted to ask, do you think it's good for baseball to continue to invest in their MLB TV program? I mean, I personally have it. I love it. I think it's fantastic. But do you think they should put more effort into getting, you know, a primetime game on other networks at night? I want to try to tie the conversation about Trout to what we've been talking about, Nate and I, over the last couple weeks about marketability. I mean, I'd love to get your two thoughts, the thoughts from you two guys, on the way this TV deal helps ESPN, but do you think it would help if they found themselves on more network TV? You know, during the summer, why not just pick a night? I mean, Wednesday night, I know growing up, was always a night I would plop down in front of the TV and catch a good baseball game. I feel like they could be putting more effort into, you know, making it a baseball night other than Sunday night, which just feels to me like inherently a football night. Eric, I'll start with you on this one.
Yeah, you got to kick it to somebody. The villain don't want to step on toes.
Yeah, I'll go
ahead,
you're after answer, gentlemen. Okay.
Go ahead, Eric.
I definitely think, I agree with your statement there. They need to have a baseball night. Sunday night is technically football in the sports world, and a lot of casual fans, you want them tuning in, so you're going to have to pick a different day. And then on top of that, with the way everybody works now, Sunday is a day to relax with the family. Everybody's together for that one day. So I would like to see them change the day. I think it hurts that they dropped it down to only 30 games because, just like we were talking about, you want marketability. You want, Mike Trout, you want him to be able to be showcased nationwide. Players like him the same. So unless you have MLB extra innings, you're not really getting to see what's going on in the world of baseball. So the MLB has to do something to get more marketability. ESPN was, besides the MLB network, which, you know, plays a few games too, but still not on a level that MLB needs to get. And, I think this hurts baseball for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. I was thinking, we've only brought up ESPN, but the other TV partners, I feel like for baseball, they're the local stations, which I get. I understand that you have to, certainly cater to the local markets given the number of games. It's not like, you can just pile all the games on across networks like you can with football. But I think football does get some type of advantage by having games on Fox and CBS and NBC and ESPN. You've covered all the right, and now Amazon Prime. Granted, the Yankees actually now are going to have some games on Amazon Prime, and I don't think that's a great thing for them, but that's a slightly different topic. I personally think that those teams and the games being available across different networks also makes CBS, Bears.com want to talk about football more. And that matters. I mean, you know, I'm sure Barry would be able to speak to this better than I would. But when you go to a website, usually what you see is what you click on. And if you're going to CBS.com and CBS knows, hey, we're going to be running a bunch of football games, so I'd rather cover the draft right now. So the reader is interested in what the, you know, Indianapolis Colts are doing rather than an actual baseball game that's taking place today. Because I personally, you know, I just am mostly invested in New York sports. But when it comes to football, there's, you know, there's a plethora of teams that I just find myself in. I care about the Carolina Panthers right now because a former Jet is on them. Now, that's an easy one to make because – an easy connection to make because it's a former player. But if I look at a team like Jacksonville, you know, I care about Jacksonville right now from a storyline perspective because they've got the number one overall pick and a quarterback. But next year, whichever team gets the number one overall pick in baseball, that person may be known. I mean, it gets reported on. Certainly the number one overall pick in baseball does garner some headlines, but it's not going to be anything that will draw me to a TV or draw me to a city or even draw me to a franchise. Yes, there was that cool bat, you know, 1-2 punch in terms of years when the Nationals got Strasburg and then Bryce Harper. I thought that was actually a great thing for the sport. I'm sure it felt uneven for a lot of folks, but I can't see how that would have hurt because then everybody tangibly saw the franchise rise from the dust. And go on to do bigger and better things. But I just think that that diverse portfolio of networks and power, I mean, those networks, even not as much as they used to, but again, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, ESPN, you know, ABC and ESPN, you know, really the same thing, but you have all that power with football. And when I look at baseball, they don't. I mean, the counter is basketball right now, which seems to be doing really well pretty much with, you know, local markets and TNT. But those games on TNT mean something because the you know, you got Shaq on there and Charles Barkley as characters. They're part of the reason you tune in, and it's been widely documented. The reasons you tune in, I still want to help baseball, if I had the ability to, love to help them figure out what is it going to take to get people to tune in. I mean, Barry, what say you?
I totally disagree with you both. I think baseball is fine. There's a lot of money out there, especially digital money. Listen, they have a deal with Fox, right? So they have FS1. In the local regionals through that, and then they do have games on Fox, but we're a long way away from having games on broadcast channels is the only way you're going to watch national games, okay? We consume TV, especially with the pandemic, a lot differently than we have in the past. Like me personally, I don't have cable. Okay, I have internet TV, Dave. You know what I have. You know I have AT&T. So,
oh, yeah.
I have all these packages. I have ESPN Plus, which has a deal now to air games through MLB because of this contract extension. So now your games are on ESPN Plus. The games are on Amazon Prime. So there's digital streaming that's going to start taking over these broadcasts and these cable companies that have been raping people for years. Like, I don't need to be messing with cable now. I can watch my sports the way I used to. Now, to your point, yeah, baseball still has a slight marketability problem where, you know, football is a national sport. Baseball is more regionalized. It's more, you know, your area, your team, that's what you watch because that's what you've been used to because you could never get an out-of-market team on TV as much. But now with digital streaming with ESPN and Fox having a reach with FS1, I can watch, like, the Dodgers if I wanted to, or, you know, with MLB Plus and all that. I can watch games that I wasn't watching before. So it's
now, Barry,
different now. So yeah.
So I think you're right, but also making part of a point that I didn't quite make, and that's there's too much, and too much of a good thing, you know, is a bad thing.
No, don't go with the gold killing the golden goose are you? There's no such thing as killing the golden goose, okay?
But I think I got to say,
we're home, Dave, we're home. We're home now.
That's you, me, and Eric, and the group of us. I think you're losing the casual fan by having too much.
I don't agree with that because I think the casual fan didn't have the options that they had before. Like, you know, Eric, you're able to watch games because you have the MLB, you know, ticket, all that kind of stuff, the extra innings or whatever.
Exactly.
Those are games when you were growing up, you weren't able to watch. You know, if you wanted to watch more baseball, where would you have to go to watch it? You'd have to go to a sports bar. You can't go to a sports bar now. You know what I mean? You can, but it's not the same experience as before. I'm home, so I need to be able to consume. I can watch my games on my phone when I'm driving home for my kid's Little League game to not miss the Yankees. You couldn't do that years ago. So there's ways to consume baseball that we weren't able to consume years ago. It's just a different medium now. I can watch it on my phone, my tablet, my computer, my TV.
You're not wrong.
That streams through internet.
But that's great, and that's fantastic. It is baseball is probably one of the most accessible sports there is, honestly. I mean, it's everywhere. Like I said earlier, it's not going to be on Amazon Prime, and it feels like everybody's got Amazon Prime. I mean, who knows what's next? Walmart Plus, but whatever. My point is, is who's going to tell you what to watch? What I mean is like I want to go back to that like CBS.com example. You go to CBS. They're not going to be talking about baseball as much as they probably will be of talking about football. It's easier to market like a Trevor Lawrence than a Mike Trout right now, and that's just a fact. And it's the fact that you can get a baseball game on a Fire TV, on a Roku, on an iPhone. I give you a couple of years, you'll be able to watch it on your Samsung fridge. I mean, the fact that it's so available isn't the solution. They could make it even more available somehow than it is now, but it's not, that won't solve the problem. You know, Yahoo.com still exists on every website. AOL.com still exists everywhere, but nobody's using them. Just because it's there doesn't mean that's what the people are
going
to.
My mom uses AOL. My
wife
uses
AOL.
Yeah, I mean, the struggle is real. Yeah. Yeah. But no, listen.
But you see my point,
I agree
though?
With you. It does have a marketing problem. It's not that people can consume it in any way that they couldn't do it before. So how do you capitalize on the way people are consuming the game to make it more watchable and to market your stars? That's the answer they have to solve. The riddle of you know, pushing that, you know, that kind of medium to everybody, you know what I mean? Like, so that Mike Trout and all these guys do win, you know what I'm saying? So I think, listen, digital money, like I said, digital money is everywhere. And it's you know, football's going to take advantage, basketball's taking advantage. Like, it's really, you got to say, okay, how do we as baseball take advantage of the digital money that's out there and for everybody to consume?
Yeah, no, I you know, you and me both. I mean, we've made careers out of looking at how that stuff works and analyzing it and making it, you know, maximizing those profits. So, certainly an interesting perspective. But Eric, I'm really curious your take on if you could think of something that baseball might be able to do to increase their marketability from like a web perspective. Like, even, you know, I was just thinking, and Eric, I'll get your thoughts in a second, but, you know, I don't know about you, I watch these streaming games and like on the Yes app, there's half the time during commercials when they're running on the Yes network, you know, I just see this, you know, we're coming back in a minute kind of loading screen. You'll see it on ESPN as well if you're watching games on the. Do something with that. It drives me nuts. You have dead air. That's literally the worst thing. I could just hit mute and just have some thing saying, we'll be right back, but why not sell the ad space? I mean, you could just give it away or use it. Why not just have Aaron Judge stand up, you know, just record a quick thing. Put his picture up there and say, hey, this is Aaron Judge. Remember, go get your vaccinations. Or, hey, this is Aaron Judge. You know, why not come to the ballpark next week for Aaron Judge bobblehead day? It drives me nuts that there's just pure dead air.
I agree with you. You know what I mean? It's a digital age. They need to go to it. It's kind of like how the WWE Network has, you know, baseball needs to get something like that. Football is, you know, going to Amazon Prime. So Major League Baseball needs to explore all these different avenues. You know, when I was growing up, we had the WGN in California, WGN, so we could see the Cubs, we could see the White Sox, we had, you know, TBS, they played the Atlanta Braves back then, and, you know, I got three different teams in California that were out of market, and that was good because that, you know, I was always an Angel fan, Reds fan, but I got these other teams that I was able to watch, learned a lot about baseball that way. You don't have that nowadays, they're, you know, so they need to do something. Yeah, baseball is the pastime, but they need to get more casual fans involved, and they need to get more of their fans involved, actual fans, because unless you're spending the money for the MLB Network, you're not getting it. And they need to capitalize on what you guys just mentioned, the online avenue. I mean, there's so many different ways they can do that, and they need to do this. That's the only way I see them, you know, growing and expanding. And people getting to see players like Mike Trout play. You know, the baseball fans heard of Mike Trout, but they don't actually get to watch this guy play. And that's the sad thing.
No, you're right.
I couldn't
pick
his face
like,
out of a lineup.
No, you can't. And you know what it is, though? And you're so right. Listen, Amazon has a boatload of money to spend. They spend a lot of money just to get NFL on Thursday nights. They would kill to have more baseball content. They already are paying for it, you know, to get baseball content on there. There's a lot of money to be had with, you know, Netflix. I don't know if they would go live, but Amazon, Roku, like all these, you know, streaming apps like, you know, Tubi, they would kill to have games.
So you're
on
saying you're saying go where the people already are, which is you know, obviously a great point.
And like, because like, Eric is right. I killed the WWE for having the network before they were ready. I was there at the ground level when that network was starting. It was a shit show. Okay, it was a disaster. But how they flipped it, they knew they had the content, they had what people wanted, and now look at that. They were like, why would you sell that to be on Peacock? Because Peacock has subscribers. Peacock paid the money to get their subscribers from WWE, and then already you have free content that's accessible all over the place. Now that network is thriving because it's under Peacock's wing. What, you know, go to Peacock. You don't think Disney is struggling, even though Disney Plus is doing great, Hulu is under their control, struggling a little bit. ESPN Plus has subscribers, but only because you're getting a bundle deal from Disney Plus. They could use more content on their network. You don't think this deal that was just signed, was it with the intent of getting more content on ESPN Plus? That's what. Don't try to reinvent the golden goose. You know, if Amazon they wanted a home security system, they didn't go make it. I'll buy Ring. Now Ring is under their umbrella. Go get where the people are. That's what MLB needs to do, and the people will come. The people will come.
You know, my favorite part of all of that is that Disney Plus was created by the guy who created MLB TV. Disney hired that dude to create the Disney Plus app and the interface and everything. That's a great point. I honestly feel really dumb. Hadn't thought of that one. But, yeah, no, get them under, like, the Hulu.
Well, that's why the
villain's
here.
Like that.
I'm here to save the people. I'm not the bad guy. I'm here to help the people.
You're really the villain of poor thought.
I'm saving the world. Even if I have to take it over to save you, I'm going to save you.
You don't even need the Infinity Stones.
No, I don't. You know, it's the strongest will. That's all.
Yeah, listen. Hey, listen, we got a couple minutes to go. I want to give both of you a couple minutes because I don't know when I'll hear from you next. I'm expecting my buddy Nate to be back next week. Real quick, shout out to Nate. Hope you're doing all right. But let's give you both a couple minutes to close it up. Barry, I'll let you go first, and then we'll give Eric the close.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for having me, man. I miss doing the baseball show. Talking a little bit of baseball, even though my Yankees are getting a beat down right now. But listen, get to the website, sportscitychefs.com. The blogs, the interviews, the merchandise, we got new merch up there. Everything's, percolating up there really nice right now. We're doing big things there. You're going to see us all over the place. Shout out to the big boss man, TP. Sirius, all the guys, the football show on the NFL Threefold will be back on Monday, doing a lot of big things there with Rhodey and Mr. Controversy James. We got a lot going on. We're having a lot of fun. So thanks for having me, Dave. Love talking baseball with you. Eric, holla at your boy. I'll talk to you guys.
Take it easy, Barry.
Absolutely. Yeah, as always, it's been a pleasure, gentlemen. Love talking baseball. Love being on the show. Thanks to all the listeners out there and our supporters. We appreciate you. And check out the website, the blogs, the merchandise, and all the shows. Everybody have a blessed night.
Love to hear it. I want to close with a couple of thoughts. But first, Eric, I just want to ask, do you have anything you want to shout out, anything you want to plug?
No, we're good, man. Just did it.
Good. So, listen, I am going to close a little bit differently. One thing I've been thinking about and I want to put some thought into is how we can fix baseball. And I'm going to be throwing an article up probably tomorrow about two things that I think we can fix, and one of which is marketability, but also on the field play. Pace of play is something that I really think needs to be modernized, needs to be adjusted. I want to not say this, but I think the easiest way to make it understandable is to just say footballize it. And what I mean by that is take the boring chunks out of the game. I obviously am a baseball fan. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't. But I'm also a realist, and I know that if you look in the stands of a game, there's people who are on their cell phones. It's even become a problem with folks getting hit by foul balls. There's definitely strong opinions on both sides of, well, if you're at the game, please pay attention to the game. And then there's other thoughts of, well, listen, there's time in between pitches, and if I get lost reading an article or checking a text from my boss, then really I should be protected. And that's why they have those things like the nets up between home and third base and going up both sides in all stadiums now. But my point is the game needs to be more approachable, I would say, from a younger person's standpoint. Now, myself, Barry, and Eric, we're all of a certain age that we do remember growing up when if you were focused on something, you'd stay focused on it. But I know right now it is absolutely not the case for the youths. I say that ironically. These kids these days, they can't pay attention to anything. I myself, I was the kind of person who simply couldn't pay attention to something. But I think there's a couple things we can do. Revolving around pitch clocks, I don't think a run around second is the solution. But check it out. I will have that article up on Sport City Chefs. Again, make sure you check out the website, www.sportcitychefs.com. Check us out on social, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Sport City Chefs. Thank you all. I've said enough for a lifetime, and for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. pay attention, tune in, we on a set again. Sports City, Chef, Chef. Sports City, Chef, Chef. Yeah. Cabbage. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.